Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Across the Nerdverse. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about the significance of Spider-Man as a cultural icon over the decades. He is one of the few superheroes up there with the big ones like Batman, Superman, to some extent Wonder Woman, Captain America, that represents kind of beyond what the comic books say in terms of, you know, the usual melodrama, although Spider-Man has had his fair share of melodrama. But I do believe that he has left a very significant mark upon our society. Ever since his debut in 1962, Spider-Man has swung his way into the hearts of millions, becoming a cultural icon. Created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko for Marvel Comics, this web-slinging superhero stands out not just for his unique powers, but also for his relatability and the profound impact he has had upon multiple generations. He especially was very significant in his beginning decade, the 1960s, a time of very huge social change. The world was undergoing civil rights movements, the Vietnam War, and the rise of youth counterculture. And there was a different socio-political landscape. Amidst this backdrop, Spider-Man emerged as a beacon of hope and relatability. Unlike the godlike superheroes of the past, Peter Parker was a young, nerdy high school student who faced the same challenges as many of his readers. His struggles with bullying, relationships, and personal loss, made him a character that fans could see themselves in. Part of what makes him so relatable is his duality. While he does possess superpowers, has great strength, can foresee danger coming before it comes, definite strength and agility, he also has the same problems as many of you and I as a kid, and even into adulthood. Struggle with finances, struggle with relationships, struggle with trying to cope with different interpersonal situations, making mistakes, which I feel is one of the biggest pieces of Spider-Man, is his ability to make a mistake and hold up a mirror as to how he isn't perfect, whereas Superman always kind of seemed to know what to do, or he had the power to just to make it happen. Whereas Spider-Man, he may have had some power, but he made just as many mistakes as he fixed things. I think that duality is captured in one of his key statements: with great power comes great responsibility. And you see that message being echoed in the comic books, in the movies. So in terms of that kind of duality of, I can do some great things, but I kind of gotta look at what I'm doing because otherwise I can make things a lot worse. And at times I do. I think that is a message that can resonate through a lot of us, if not all of us, as human beings, is we possess great potential, we possess great ability for both good things, for great feats, as well as great acts of destruction. Part of what makes Spider-Man so relatable is also his rogues gallery. Much like Batman, Spider-Man's rogue gallery is a very personal rogues gallery. It has people that Spider-Man knows in some instances, or is a personal opposite of Spider-Man. Green Goblin, for example, Norman Osborn, the father of one of Spider-Man's best friends. Very interesting personal dynamic, but past kind of the soap story of it, is just this piece of conflicting loyalties. So trying to do what's right, also while struggling with loyalties to friends. Something that I feel is not always you see in other comic books. It's a little bit more straightforward, like, or else it's hammed up. So it's, oh no, my best friend's father. But then they would always do what's right, where there was huge conflicts in the Spider-Man comic books. He is tortured with doubt, sometimes remorse over what he has to do, even when it's the right thing. It's never an easy, quick snap of a personal decision for him. It's something that Spider-Man always has to weigh on his conscience. And even if you go to relationships that Peter Parker may not always know as it got later into the series. There was always a personal element. So there was Venom in terms of not just, you know, it being Eddie Brock who Parker knew, but it was Eddie Brock who was humiliated by his own doings as well as a little bit of influence of Spider-Man. So then there's this tortured piece of like Eddie Brock being filled with self-loathing and shames, but then he becomes like Spider-Man's greatest villain for a while in terms of the spider suit who was also the symbiote who was also spurned by Spider-Man. So it set up for some interesting personal dynamics and morality kind of questions along the way. So one of the things that I thought I'd also briefly mention, that aside from just the humanity of Spider-Man, his iconography is very, you know, resonant as well. His costume is some very simple colors. Red, blue, a little bit of white for the eyes, a little bit of black for the logo. But other than that, as well as his webbing, of course. But other than that, very simple costume. Also behind a mask. So you could visualize yourself being in that costume to some extent. Superman, you can't. He looks a certain way. Batman, you kind of could. But then there was always that overwhelming issue of it was very much Bruce Wayne's character. And yes, Peter Parker has been the definitive Spider-Man, but there have been other Spider-Mans briefly tried out, as well as just the piece of that mask being blank. You can kind of enter into a fantasy world of being anybody could be Spider-Man, maybe even myself, which is something that as a kid, I remember I loved that about Spider-Man, is that I would imagine myself being Spider-Man, because if you got away from that whole Peter Parker is Spider-Man, you can make up a story where it was you being bit by a radioactive spider, which is a little bit different and a little bit more relatable to Bruce Wayne, who had to have kind of the trigger event of his parents dying. Superman had to have the trigger event of being an orphan from his own planet and society. But Spider-Man, yes, there was loss later on that made him assume the responsible nature of Spider-Man. But truly, the spider was a catalyst, and for a while he had powers and was using it just to get cash doing the wrestling gig. And, you know, all of us could have seen that we would have made choices, and then it was the tragedy that formed our choice to become good after that. But in terms of other heroes, if you didn't have the tragedy, you never would have even had some of the powers, some of the abilities, to the extent that it did for Batman and Superman. Now, I think it was a good blend. Spider-Man had it both. It had a tragedy that formed his identity, but he also had a catalyst that was separate from that. And it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if he had either never had the catalyst or never had the identity shaping purpose, which I know there are some stories, like what if stories, other reality stories that have looked at that. But I've always found that concept to go is beyond just doing this as an alternate version, what things would shape a person to be a hero? Is it the events that solely happen, or do they have tools? Tools and opportunities that other people don't get in order to become superheroes or heroic. Because for Batman, it's the money. Spider-Man, he gets powers, but he's also very intelligent. He doesn't have a lot of other things given to him other than the spider bite and his own intelligence. But everything else kind of conflicts with this superhero because he's got to worry about jobs, grades, looking after his aunt, that kind of stuff. And later on, keeping a marriage afloat. So nothing is ever simple. Whereas you see kind of like Superman and Batman, their primary purpose is their Batman or Superman ego. Whereas Spider-Man, it is always a balance and a juggling act. And so his identity is wrapped up in two different things. And I always find that fascinating when there is a duality that's at war with itself versus a very much like, oh, the choice is always easy. You just you do the right thing and there's nothing else to be considered. We all walk around with doubts around, have we done the right thing or not? So in conclusion, I would like to say is that Spider-Man is an icon. And you can see that in both all the things I talked about and that you can do if you do the right ingredients right, you can have someone else be Spider-Man. I would put forth that at this point, due to the Spider-Verse movies, as well as to some extent the Ultimate Universe series for a while, Miles Morales is as much a Spider-Man as Peter Parker ever was, because it has some of the same ingredients. He is relatable. He has identity, both issues as well as development, and that you can see his humanity. And that awakens our core humanity, both the tragic stuff as well as the amazing stuff that we all carry in us. So I think it's safe to say that even more than the other heroes, Spider-Man is all of us and could be all of us at any time. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope that you will come back, because I've enjoyed doing them. I'm still feeling my way out around how to do it in the most efficient way and the best way for everybody, but I'm enjoying making them because it's around topics that I enjoy, and I hope you do is enjoy listening to them as well. So have yourself a great day, and if you wish to get a hold of me, my email address is kovaz965@gmail.com. And have a great weekend. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.